I didn't know Castlevania also came out this week.
Oh God, really? Another one?
Yeah, and I really want that. They say this one's pretty good.
I don't mean another one that sounds like another Castlevania. I mean another game.
Oh, okay.
There's like 8 million things.
What's it called? The Order of what?
Ecclesia.
What's an ecclesia?
I think it's a kind of pastry.
No, it's not.
I know, I'm lying.
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, technically for the week of October 20th, 2008, although we're recording this on Wednesday the 22nd, and I think it's going to go up on Wednesday also. And, you know, we kind of delayed it just like a day or so because we kind of wanted to get some Fable 2 time in, and much Fable 2 time was gotten in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to do our normal show. We're going to start off with the news. You got that covered, Edge Guy?
Indeed.
Indeed. All right. Then we're going to go Great American Edge Guy Gaming Quiz. Answer or die. It's always a fun segment, although it misses something when we're doing these kind of across state shows where you can't actually hit me.
Yeah.
But it's still good fun. They were going to talk about our weekend gaming. Fable 2 and Dead Space will be getting a lot of time there, obviously. Then we're going to go into downloadable game releases, the weekly game releases. We'll look at the top 10 list by Derek Robbins. Hit the mail barrel. And that's going to be the whole show. We got a good email.
Yeah, we did.
And I'm excited to cover that one actually. So
yes,
let's start the show. Hit me with news. Wait a second.
What?
Wait, we have to address this Spider-Man thing.
Okay, first. You want to do that first?
Because you told me you were talking about all the games coming out, and you're like, oh man, there's too many games coming out. There's like Little Big Planet, Fallout 3, and Fable 2, and Spider-Man Web of Shadows. And in my head, I'm like, one of these things is not like the other. And I was thinking, wait. And I said, wait, what? And you're like, no, man, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be sweet. And I'm like, I immediately dismissed it because Spider-Man game has been crappy. So you told me to check it out a little bit. So I saw the IGN video review. And I must ask you, sir, what exactly about it do you think is so appealing?
I didn't see the video review, so I mean, granted, all my impressions are based on official IGN's media. All right, what did I say?
Would you like to hear IGN's score?
Okay.
5.5.
Ooh.
From IG freaking N.
Oh, well, that's sad. I don't know, it looked good, because, like, the focus was on, like, aerial combat and, like, not being in sewers.
Yeah,
which
I know.
Automatically fixed, like, 90% of Spider-Man 3's problems.
It looks very repetitive. The presentation doesn't look all that up there. Voice acting is terrible. And I don't know. It did not look very appealing.
Oh, that's upsetting. Did you see that trailer, though, I was talking
about?
No,
I just watched the video review.
Yeah. I mean, trust me. That was not on my to-buy list. I'm going to game fly it eventually, but still.
Also, it looks like they don't do the Spider-Man 2, I forget they did in 3 thing anymore, where you actually swing on objects, not just like on, you know, it looks like you're just kind of swinging this time. You know?
I mean, if anything, you're swinging off actual enemies and stuff too. A lot of it looks like, I don't know.
Well, I saw one move where you do that, and they did that move a lot, and it looks cool the first couple of times I saw it. But then I'm like, wow, they keep doing it.
I see.
Okay, but now that we got that done, let's go to the news.
Yeah, let's go to the second most important story of the month then: NPD numbers. So let's go over the console sales for September. The Wii, once again dominating with 687,000 units sold, closely followed by the DS at 536,800. So Nintendo's pockets continue to line with cash. The Xbox 360 saw the predicted surge in their sales with the September price drops. They sold 347,200 units, followed by the PSP, 238,100, PlayStation 3, 232,400, and the PlayStation 2 with 173,500. So, only
more of the same
surprise
kind
to me is that PSP
except for 360
also
getting
PS3.
A bump. I think the PSP is the more appealing system right now.
I would actually agree. In fact, we'll get to that topic I want to talk about a little later. But yeah, I mean, and the PSP PlayStation 3 numbers only separated by like 6,000 units, so they're like neck and neck. So yeah, a pretty predictable shift. We'll see. I'm curious to see how things will continue into the holiday. That's always the fun one to
watch.
You
think Little Big Planet's going to give the PS3 sales a bump at all?
See, I don't know. Because everyone's, even like the press and people who play this, are like, oh, this is like the perfect casual game. It's going to draw people in, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, like, to me, if you're a casual gamer, A, like, you're not going to buy a $400 console to play one game casually. And B, those are probably all the people who are still trying to get a Wii and want to wait for a Wii rather than get this game. It just seems to me like, I don't know, like it's kind of like a simplified Garry's Mod, and maybe I'm simplifying the argument a bit here. But like, I futzed around with Garry's Mod, I thought it was fun, and then ultimately I just kind of benefited from other people's creations in that, because to do anything truly exceptional or outstanding takes the time and patience that I typically don't have. Unless this is, like, super-duper intuitive, and I, like, sit down with this, and I'm like, oh, my God. But even then, like, I really can't see someone, like, I'm trying to think of a good example. I don't know, like, could you imagine, like, even Mom, like, playing this, let alone creating with it?
No.
But she'll get up there and play Wii Bowling or something. In fact, she wants to a lot of the time, so I don't know.
Well, reviews have been pretty positive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's going to sell well, but I don't think it's going to do much to expand the PlayStation 3 user base. I think it'll sell to the people who have it.
I think it's interesting that, as far as I can remember, the only time we really saw like a big correlation between a console exclusive, you know, software game and the console sales going up was Metal Gear Solid 4 this generation.
That was like, and I think a lot of that has to do with the bundle. But because I mean, Metal Gear Solid 4, I think that's like, that was one of the games that like people were waiting for before they bought a PlayStation 3.
And Metal Gear Solid 4, it kind of fits in with the PlayStation 3's kind of image of being this super tech machine, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Little Big Planet, I mean, I think it looks very good. Like I said, like this is like to me kind of motion blur the game, but like I think motion blur looks really good, so I'm fine with that. But like, you know, this isn't exactly pushing the hardware capabilities of the PS3. Now, it's doing some interesting things with its networking infrastructure and elements like that, but, like, this is not using all 8 cores of the cell to their maximum potential, you know?
Yes. Another interesting thing I saw sales-wise is that Wii Fit has outsold Grand Theft Auto 4 now.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't look at the totals. Wow.
I don't know. I don't know. This is kind of a newer story than like the MPDs itself.
Uh-huh.
But that was just something I read lately. So this is something to think about if you're still kind of doubting the relevance of the casual games market.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the software sales. We've got I'm surprised and not surprised. Number one is The Force Unleashed on the 360 at 610,000 units, followed by Wii Fit. I'm not going to give the numbers for everything. Rock Band 2 on the 360, Mario Kart Wii, then The Force Unleashed on the PS3, which I will give this number, that's 325,000. So it's about half. Mercenaries 2 in number 6 on the 360.
That's good.
Then Wii Play, Madden on the 360, The Force Unleashed on Wii, and then Madden on the PS2. So Force Unleashed, big success.
Oh, yeah. Big. Are you surprised? Is that what you're surprised about?
I knew it would sell. I didn't think it'd sell this much.
Oh, yeah. I kind of thought it would. They were putting a lot of resources behind hyping this game. I mean, there were so many TV spots.
That's true. It did have a big marketing push.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, it's not a bad game. And I think people...
It's not... No, no. It's not... It's a good game.
Yeah, it is. And I just think, for some reason, it seems like people are starved for Star Wars. And even though they've, like, you see a lot of people, like, the same people who are like, Star Wars sucks, George Lucas has driven it to the ground, it's a walking corpse. Those are the people who are still buying every Star Wars thing, I think in the vain hope that, like, something's going to be really good again.
Well, speaking of Star Wars...
Okay, we could do that. Good transition. Well done. The worst-kept secret ever has been unveiled finally this week, as BioWare LucasArts have had a presser to announce Star Wars The Old Republic. No more knights. just Old Republic. It is an MMO coming at some undisclosed date, featuring undisclosed gameplay and undisclosed classes, except for Sith and Jedi. About the only concrete thing we know is that it's set 300 years after KOTOR 2, and we still have some screenshots that... It's just kind of, it's quasi-exaggerated, like it's in between realistic and what the Clone Wars does. Although, have you looked at the lightsaber hilts in the screenshots? They're huge.
They're huge. A lot of people are kind of disappointed with the graphics so far.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the reason for them being so big is because, like, I mean, what other loot is a Jedi going to get? So maybe, like, they want your lightsaber to be, like, an identifying thing for you, so it's got to be bigger so you see it. But, I don't know, it looks kind of silly. Looks like a little, like Playmobil, kind of.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm having a hard time mustering up much enthusiasm for this.
Yeah, I don't know either. Like, it looks... To me, like, what was so cool about KOTOR was it was kind of like, gritty. And, like, it had, like, that very realistic, serious-toned Star Wars experience. And this, I think it just reminds me too much of the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I don't know. I mean, granted, we literally know nothing else about this game. It could be awesome.
Do you really want another MMO?
No, that's the thing, though. I don't. I'd really rather they just made KOTOR 3. They're trying to say, like, this is KOTOR 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and plus
what
combined in the
mean?
One game.
I hate when people do that.
Well, they say they're trying to make a story-centric MMO, to which I say good luck.
Oh! Didn't Matrix Online do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh God.
You know what? I wanted someone to come out and say we're going to make a gameplay centric MMO. How about that?
Yeah. Who even? What is it? I'll tell you what. When I play Warhammer, like the entire time, I don't even read anything that anybody tells me in those quest things.
No, that's like that is like a gameplay centric MMO. Actually, I think that like
there's like
I
a little bit
like
at the
I'm
end where they
game.
Actually. There's a little bit at the end where they actually tell you what your mission objective is. I just read that, and then I go follow the little, you know, red circle thing, and then I go do something. That's
right.
It. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm just, you know, like, it's not like, first I have to worry about the galaxy's problem, because this game's going to be compared to that immediately. And,
right.
And, I mean, what I see, like, how is it going to be different from galaxies? They're not saying how.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you play as Jedi and Sith. I mean, is the only difference going to be the time setting? I mean, Galaxies kind of showed that a Star Wars MMO sounds great on paper, but in practice isn't really that much fun.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I guess we'll see. I mean, God, who knows how long away this actually is from coming out.
Yeah, seriously. Well, I mean, like, it's being worked on by LucasArts, BioWare, and EA.
EA.
So, because EA bought BioWare, so technically they're part of this. So,
no,
I mean, the
so.
Game's got a buttload of resources to work from, so, I don't know, maybe they can pull something off.
We'll see.
And we'll continue the Star Wars news. The second worst-kept secret in video gaming. Vader and Yoda have been announced as DLC to the PS3 and 360, respectively. Of course, this being Namco Bandai, the company that released, I think, $250 worth of DLC for Ace Combat, it will cost you $5 to get your missing character. And from what I understand, I mean, this comes out, let's see, tomorrow, actually, but a lot of people are saying already that this is probably one of those deals where it's already on the disc and you're just buying the unlock code, which I hate that more than anything. I really do. Ooh.
I know you get upset. Well, I mean, besides that, though, I mean, I don't think I'm going to be downloading Yoda.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, unless I, for whatever reason, find myself with, like, unused points that I'm, like, whatever, I don't know. Honestly, I haven't even played that much Soul Calibur 4 in, like, the last month and a half.
Mm-hmm. I played it for a while.
Yeah.
I had fun. Well, what else we got?
Okay, so this is pretty cool. So Microsoft announced, with the new Xbox experience arriving November 19th, that it takes up 128 megabytes of space. So if you didn't have at least a 256 meg memory card or bigger, you couldn't get it. And I don't think they really said like what's going to happen if that is the case for you, but what they are doing is you could go to a page on Xbox.com and register your console's serial number. If you have a Core, which is the original low-end SKU of the Xbox that had absolutely no memory options, you can sign up and get either a free 512 megabyte memory card or for $20, you can get a refurbished 20-gigabyte hard drive, which I believe new, those sell for something like $70, and they used to be $100 before the 60s came out. If you're an arcade owner, which came with a 256-megabyte memory card, but now with this, you're left with half of that, you can get the refurbished 20-gig hard drive and 3 months of Xbox Live, and that's $29.99. So not only is this good because, you know, now this gets the NXE out there, but hopefully this will help kind of perpetuate hard drive penetration to the 360s to the point where it's, like, almost standard. So maybe we'll finally start to see some games that'll start taking advantage of it in the way that you see on the PS3. And I don't mean, like, hard drive installs. I just mean, like, I don't know, the way it, like, handles content and things like that.
Right. Well, okay. I got nothing to say, really.
Yes. Very good. Furthermore, at TGS, there was a fun little quote. This is from Konami PR fellow Yoshitaka Arai, who said to Japanese investment research firm Morningstar, quote, "We're actively looking into a Metal Gear Solid 4 release for the Xbox 360, end quote. Apparently, he wasn't supposed to say that, because in the original source article, that quote has been removed and replaced with a quote from Konami PR manager Shikaki Nakajima. And his new quote just says, well, making use of each platform's strong suits, we are going multi-platform from henceforth. So, typically, if someone says something in error, like they say a factual error, then a retraction is published. But since this was just kind of, like, quietly changed, a lot of people are thinking that, yes, in fact, Metal Gear Solid 4 coming to 360, and this guy let the cat out of the bag, and he probably got yelled at.
Yes. Well, yeah, I'm sure it'll be happening. It'll be, like, a Substance-style package. It'll be interesting to see, because Metal Gear Solid 4 really is, it's a really good-looking game, so it'll be good to see if you can compare them.
Well, and then what's his name? Shepard. Something, I think Jack Shepard, he does something at Microsoft, was also quoted as saying, yes, the Xbox 360 has the power to run Metal Gear Solid 4. I mean, really, it'll have to be multi-disc, but other than that, he, according to him, like, there should be no graphical difference. I guess I'll have to change Otacon's line about the cell processor and Blu-ray, too.
Yeah, maybe it'll be a line saying that you really have to change the disc.
Yeah. Although I suspect it would happen before that. Probably just each chapter's on its own disc or something if they did that. So yes. Alright, so this is some very good news. Dan Aykroyd, of all people, was speaking to Dallas radio station 105.3 KLLI, where he confirmed that the Ghostbusters game that has been kind of in publisher limbo has been picked up by Atari and should be out in about a year. So that's good, because I really want to play that game. I think
yeah, sounds good. Also, 50 Cent Blood on Sand, or whatever it's called, got a. They say it should be getting a publisher, so that's good news.
Yeah.
Gotta get that 50 Cent game in there.
Indeed. I don't know, I mean, granted, you know, take this for what it is, but, like, the people who have played it said, like, it's a marked improvement over the first one. I don't know what that means.
Well, you
know,
I'm joking,
like, you know,
right? I'm not actually excited.
I know you're joking.
Okay, just making sure, because you're
okay,
all like...
Well, here, let's talk about something you do care about. In the PS3 version of Bioshock, upon beating the game, you get to see a teaser trailer for Bioshock 2, Sea of Dreams.
Yay.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was cool. It was a teaser trailer. It was very teasy.
Yes. It shows, like, it looks like a grown-up little sister standing on a dock.
What do you mean?
What appears...
It looks like. Of course it is.
And she's holding what appears to be a Big Daddy doll.
You think this game is not going to take place in Rapture?
But, well, my thing is that everyone had been kind of saying that it's going to be a prequel. But this would imply sequel.
Yeah. Probably sequel, I think. I don't think they're going prequel route.
Right.
So, I think it'd be pretty hard to populate Rapture with people and stuff and have it look as good as it did.
Yeah, I mean, the character, even, like, granted, I know the humans were supposed to look all grotesque and stuff, but still, they didn't look very good in that game when you got close to them. They didn't articulate very well.
Right, well, it was an environment game.
Alright, so we got some Valve news. They have basically said that there will be no more Team Fortress 2 updates until 2009. And they're not even going to be like showing anything about Episode 3 for like another year. Basically, they say blame Left 4 Dead because, like, this game, I don't even think it was originally being developed by Valve. From what I understand, it was a kind of a side project being worked on by the guys who did some Counter-Strike AI code. And I just think Valve kind of saw some potential in this, took it on, and as it went from this interesting little quirky side thing to becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, they've been dumping more and more and more resources into it, and I guess now, like, everybody at Valve is, like, working on crunch for this game, preparing for its release next month. Which, I mean, is good, because I think it's going to be a really sweet game. It just sucks, like, knowing that, like, there won't be any more TF2 class updates or anything for the next 3 months.
Man, I'd rather have Episode 3, so that then you can get started on Half-Life 3.
You know what would be, like the craziest way to, like, end Episode 3? Is if, like, in the last room you're in, there's a mirror.
What, so you see Gordon Freeman?
Yeah.
It's not like we don't know what he looks like.
I know, but, like, they've never actually shown him in-game. It's all just been, like, artwork and the multiplayer character model from the first game.
That's right. They don't even have a character model for Gordon Freeman in Half-Life 2.
Correct.
Because you never had to see him, so. Which is kind of weird to think about. He shows up only on box art.
Exactly. I just think that'd be cool.
There's a picture of him in Kleiner's lab back from the days.
That is true. All right, so this I'm cautiously optimistic about. They are bringing Settlers of Catan to the DS. But, like, well, I think it would have been awesome if it was, like, just basically a straight-up port of the XBLA version. It's actually a port of a cell phone version of the game. So, hopefully they, like, you know, do some work on it, not just straight up port it. But if it's good, I'll be very excited.
All right. More Catan. Why don't you just play Catan? Like, get a board game.
Because I don't have anyone else here who would play it with me.
Oh, okay. You got no friends is what you're saying.
I've got friends, they just don't play board games.
Well, there's a difference between Monopoly and Settlers of Catan.
Yeah. okay, so some of the cut classes from Warhammer are coming back in December. The two cut classes that are returning is the Night Elf, or the Night Elf, Dark Elf Blackguard, and the Empire Knight of the Blazing Sun. These are basically two tank classes that got cut from the game and are sorely missed.
I'm very happy that Empire is finally getting a tank.
I mean, because, like, we're both playing Empire characters, and, like, yeah, you'll get the occasional Dwarf Ironbreaker or High Elf, what are they called?
Swordmasters.
That'll show up in the human realms, because they just, for whatever reason, are there. But, yeah, it'd be nice to have consistent tanks in the area at all times.
Definitely.
Because it makes a lot of the, like, especially some of the final encounters in PQs a little more difficult than they should be.
Yes.
When you have no one who can hold aggro or take damage.
Yes, very much so.
So we may as well get this out of the way. Little Big Planet, by now I'm sure you know, has been delayed to next week because of a background song in the game, which includes references, well, not references, lines from the Quran. Of course, this is where it gets fun. So it was actually like some gamers on some forum somewhere who noticed this, who are themselves Muslim, and they took offense to this. And, you know, they handled it very well. They very politely wrote a very articulate letter to Sony to alert them to this and say, you know, we know you don't mean anything by this, but it's here. We take offense to this. Would you please do something about it? And, you know, Sony did. So, kind of to my surprise, rather than just patching it, which they are doing because some retail copies did leak out already, they have recalled every copy of the game and are repressing all the Blu-rays to remove this song. So then, another Muslim group criticizes Sony for doing this, basically saying, it's more so a criticism of other Muslims, I think, saying that, like, you know, Muslims want free speech and blah, 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 but then as soon as something like this comes up, then they want to censor everything, and it's very hypocritical, and they should learn to deal with it. And I was like, I'm confused now. Who's mad at who?
Yeah, it's just a mess, the whole situation.
Yeah.
At first, I was, like, angry. Then I was, like, understanding. Now I'm just confused.
And honestly, Sony did not need this to happen for this game. I mean, like,
no.
To our previous discussion, whether it does sell hardware or not, this is their big release for the holiday, I would say. I mean, you've got Resistance and stuff like that, but this is the game that everybody's talking about, and I don't know. I just think that they did not need this. It's better, though, than like the initial reports were saying it could have been delayed as far as November 14th.
Yeah.
Which is like almost a month.
What I don't understand is how a delay where you recall a game and repress it only takes a week.
Yeah, that's what I don't get either. Because that's what I said. When I heard it was a week, I was like, oh, they're just patching it. And then, yeah, it's a recall and repress.
Yeah, I'm just confused, but I mean, whatever.
And, of course, the great thing is, too, is people who did get like leaked or retail copies from stores that were breaking the street dates, like I heard some Best Buys were, are selling them on eBay for like $250. And these people probably don't realize that as soon as they put that game in on Tuesday this week, it's just going to get patched out and be just like all the other ones anyway.
Well, at least you get to play it like a week early.
I guess.
I don't know. People who have money, they'll throw it around.
Yeah.
Help the economy.
Yeah, exactly.
How much more news you got?
There's a lot of stuff.
You still have a lot left?
A few things, yeah.
Okay, all right. Let's get through it.
The Mother 3 fan translation is complete.
That's right.
The third Earthbound on the Game Boy Advance that fans have been clamoring from Nintendo to get a domestic release, and they're just kind of not doing it. Of course, if you go to the website for the fan translation, they have, like, it's basically like a patch file for the ROM, and they encourage you to get the ROM through legal means, because, you know, everybody's got a ROM dumper and a Japanese copy of Mother 3 lying around. So, you know, do what you will.
Right.
I don't know, but like we were discussing this before, just Earthbound is never really a series that it's grabbed us. We both played the original SNES game, and I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I just do not like Earthbound. I've tried.
Yeah, me too. Oh, well. So Sony has released their venerated PlayStation Portable 3000. I love how that's the moniker. It's like numbers at the end. But, so we all knew that going into this, it's got like the brighter screen, the microphone built in, whatever. But apparently, one of the side effects of the brighter screen and like the way it reduces ghosting is it creates a lot of interlacing. Now, granted, every picture I've seen of this is this like super zoomed in picture of a character in like Disgaea for PSP. And I just want to see like just a basic video of it, but I haven't found one yet. So I don't know how bad this actually is. But like a lot of people are saying like, you know, this looks worse than it did before, blah, blah, blah. People are taking them back to Best Buy, and the Best Buy is doing refunds on them. And Sony says, you know, it's a hardware thing, it's not a software thing, and we're not doing anything about it. So people are all upset.
Yeah, I saw this. I'm worried. I do not like interlacing.
I don't either. But like I said, I don't know how, like some people say like to them that it's fine and they don't even notice it. I mean, I'm sure a lot of it depends on the game you're playing. I don't know. Right. I guess I'd just like to get my hand on one and try one. Because I'm in the back of my mind, this isn't anything I'm going to be doing soon, but I wouldn't mind trading in my old PSP towards one of these because of because they have the faster loading times and the lighter weight and everything. And, you know, if it's the screen's brighter, that's good, but not if it, like, is interlacing to the point where it looks bad.
I have to say, my PSP 1000, whatever it is, it's plenty bright enough.
Yeah, I mean,
I've never had a brightness problem.
Yeah, but remember, didn't you think that too with the DS? And then you got the DS Lite, and you were like, "Oh,
I don't know," because I rarely ever even use the highest setting for my PSP.
Well, you have to have it plugged in brightness. To get to the highest.
Well, I usually do have it plugged in, so that's probably why.
Oh, okay.
I'm usually playing it at bed at night with it plugged in.
Let's see what else. Okay, so have you heard the E3 2009 details?
Yeah, open to the public. That's cool.
Yeah, this is basically what I said they should have done 3 years ago.
It's like Tokyo Game Show now.
Yeah, it's going to be in June this time, as we try to find the date that works.
Just put it back to May.
Seriously, I don't know. But yeah, June, and it'll start on Tuesday, and then the weekend it'll be open to the public. But it's still like, it's not even half the size of PAX. It sounds to me like it's going to be almost like a poor man's PAX.
Interesting. Well, hopefully, man, they made a big mistake when they downsized it a lot in the very beginning.
I think it needed some downsizing, but I think they just went too far.
They went way too far.
Yeah. I mean, I'll agree. Yeah, it was probably getting a little crazy, having never been, but seeing, like, videos and photos and things. It looked like it was like building Disneyland every year, but I don't know. So we'll see how that goes. Could work, maybe not. We should try to go. It'll be fun.
Maybe.
Xbox Live Primetime, which was one of the announced features of the new Xbox experience, has been delayed to spring of 2009. This is that thing where, like, you would have played game shows, like, at a scheduled time with, like, other people. The one they kept showing was 1 versus 100.
Right.
So I don't think anyone's going to be too upset by missing this. The Fable 2 Collector's Edition is having some problems. One of the two things included in the Collector's Edition was a card to download some exclusive content, like the Halo armor and a few other things. And apparently some copies are missing their cards. The way to tell, from what I understand, is if the game has on the outside a little orange sticker that says, you know, 48-hour trial of live included, you're good to go. If that sticker is missing, you may not have the card inside the box. Microsoft is going to announce their plan on how to rectify this on October 28th. My vague hope is that it'll just be, okay, for like one day, everybody could download it, which would be kind of cool.
Right.
I mean, I've seen the screenshots of Halo armor. I do think it looks cool, but, like, I'd rather
it
just...
It's out of place, kind of.
A little bit, but I'd rather, like, I don't know. I just feel like it's more fun to, like, you know, make your own armor out of stuff you find and buy.
Right, exactly. Like, I wouldn't want to use a particular set, you know? I like to mix and match.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of armor, did you download the Dead Space bonus armor yet?
Yeah, and one thing that kind of confused me, like, I hadn't bought the Tier 4 armor yet, but I just... When you download that, you just get it immediately, as far as I could tell, and it doesn't cost anything, and then it's, like, the best armor in the game.
Oh, really? I would have thought, like, you still would have had to buy it and everything.
No, I didn't even have to... Like, they wouldn't let me buy the Tier 4 armor anymore, because it was, like, antiquated.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I was just like, okay, all right then.
Yeah, because apparently I think after October 28th, that's no longer free. So, even if you don't have Dead Space, but you think you're going to get it, you may as well download that and tie it to your account if you want it in the future.
Right.
And the final item. Rock Band has announced what the 20 free songs are. I'm not going to list them because, frankly, I've never heard of a single one of them.
Yeah, I have not heard of any of them.
It sounds to me like, you know, usually they include, like, that list of, like, bonus indie songs, and that was kind of missing from Rock Band 2. I think it's just basically that.
Right.
So, I mean, a little disappointing in that, like, I was hoping it was going to be, like, actual songs. But, I mean, it's still 20 free songs, so you can't complain too much.
Right.
And that, at long last, is the news.
Okay, Christ. All right, good. Jeez. All right. I know it was a busy week. I won't blame you this time.
Thank you.
All right, so quiz time. You ready?
All right, I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Question the first. What was the original Fable's developmental name?
Ooh, I should know this. Project Ego.
What'd you say?
Project Ego.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah!
All right. Number two. You just played Dead Space. What's the name of the player character?
Isaac.
Good job.
Yes!
Okay, number three. Everyone remembers HK-47 from KOTOR, but what was the name of the other droid who joined your party?
TK... Oh, shoot, what's his numbers? It's not TK, is it? Frack. I don't know.
It's T3M4.
Ah! Shoot.
All right. Listen closely now. Number four.
Okay.
Dantooine, Kashyyyk, Korriban, Utapu, and Menon. Which of these planets did you not visit in the original KOTOR?
List them again.
Dantooine, Kashyyyk, Korriban, Utapu, and Manon.
Kashyyyk.
No, Utapu.
Utapau?
Utapau, yeah. I just made it. I just wrote
Wait,
it in there.
When did you go to Utapau? Was that in the movies?
Yeah, it was in one of the movies, I think. I think that's where they clone people. Yeah. That's why I kind of just, like... I think there... in my mind, I was like... I mean, I put that in there because I knew it wasn't one of them, so...
Right. Dang. You okay. Do go to Kashyyyk. I remember it now. Yeah.
Haha. All right, number five. Name the five subgames in the NES game Adventures in the Magic Kingdom. This does not count the trivia game.
So you got Space Mountain. You've got Haunted Mansion. You've got Pirates of the Caribbean. You've got Big Thunder Mountain Railroad and the Grand Prix.
Okay, good enough.
Yay.
Bonus question. In a nutshell, what is the plot of Adventures in Magic Kingdom?
Oh, the key to open the gate gets lost and you have to find it?
I will not accept that. You didn't say that Goofy lost the keys.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
whatever,
no.
I didn't win anyway.
I need it. All right. Good show there.
Yay.
Man, you lost both of the KOTOR questions.
I know. That's like my favorite game.
Well,
T3M4. Jeez. Well, I haven't played it in like 40 years.
40 years?
Four.
It was actually more like 5 years, but okay.
No, I did a second playthrough of it 4 years ago. I played Darkseid.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you got answer or die?
Yeah, I got answer or die. Okay. What is the most disappointed you've ever been in a game that you bought? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Dead.
I am dead. Oh.
You're so dead. Oh, wait, I'll see you next.
Oh, my God. I can't think. Well, I'm trying to think. Can you think of something that really disappointed you?
I don't know. I'm not the one who's up on death row here.
I guess, I mean, Fable 1 kind of disappointed me. Not that much.
Right.
I guess maybe, like, Fable 1 sure was a little disappointing. I don't know. Even games like Escape from Monkey Island was kind of disappointing, but at the time I liked it enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, usually if a game's going to be disappointing, it's going to be a sequel. You know what? I probably could have said Sonic Heroes.
Yeah, that would have counted, or even, you know, the redone Sonic the Hedgehog.
Well, I wasn't expecting... Well, yeah, but I knew that was dead before. I mean, I never even bought that one.
Right.
Okay, give me another one. I'll do better.
So you think.
Yeah.
What is your favorite mascot-based video game? 5.
Super Mario World.
All right. And finally, what is your favorite product placement video game? 5.
Cool Spot.
Very good answer. That is the correct answer. Okay, you know what? Instead of being killed, you will now just get hit very hard on the shoulder next I see
good,
you. Because
good.
You got that answer right.
I got that right immediately, too.
Yes. It was great. On one of the 1UP podcasts like a month ago, they started discussing it, and they're trying to remember the name. And I'm like, it's Cool Spot, you fools! Cool Spot! They did finally get
Man,
it.
Man, that needs to get... That has to be a Virtual Console release.
Oh, I know. That was a great game. That's the thing, though. It was actually possible in like the days of the NES and the 16-bit systems for a game that was based on the dot from the 7-Up logo to be a legitimately good game. You know?
Right.
Like, Yo-Noid,
there wasn't much to
that
them
was a
back
fun
then.
Game, you know?
Yo-Yo-Noid wasn't a bad game either for the NES with
yeah,
the Domino's mascot.
Yeah, that was fine.
What are the... Man, like, recent product times, we had, like, those Burger King games, which I never played.
There's, like, that Yaris game that was free on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, they're just... You know what? There was that good McDonald's game for
the
Genesis
yeah,
that
the
was
Treasure
basically like Dynamite
game.
Heady.
Yeah.
Yeah, Treasure made it.
Oh, you know what I found out, though? The guy from Treasure who worked in Dynamite Heady, that's, like, apparently his secret favorite game ever. And when people bring it up, he gets, like, really happy because no one played it. But, like, we actually owned it, so I feel, like, very special now. That not only do we own it, but we love that game.
Wait, are you talking about the McDonald's game?
No, Dynamite Heady.
Oh, you're talking about Dynamite Heady,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I think that got a Virtual Console release already.
Yeah, but apparently it's, like, their poorest-selling game on the Virtual Console.
It's what?
It's their poorest-selling game that they have up on the Virtual Console.
So
everyone go buy Dynamite Heady. It's sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, then.
Let's talk some games.
Oh, right. Okay, well, let's talk about Dead Space first, because that came out first.
You've played more of it than I have.
I played a lot of that. I really almost
beat
it.
Basically.
And it's kind of funny, because I was trying very hard not to follow the game at all. Not really purposely, but I just didn't. Like, I knew
yeah,
I would probably like
it
and I went out and got it. What's that?
It was just off your radar.
Yeah, it's kind of off my radar. I thought, for some reason, I thought it was a first-person shooter. Probably just because I was expecting the whole game to be, like, practically a rip-off of BioShock.
Yeah,
but
like a lot
it's
of people
really much
it
more
BioShock
meets. It's BioShock meets Resident Evil 4 in space,
uh-huh.
Which makes it cool. because you know it's definitely that over the shoulder thing. It's, you know, it's kind of slower pace, and you know it's like Bosch talking, the atmosphere is really cool and stuff like that. And the whole mechanic where, you know, you don't just shoot people, you have to cut their limbs off, and you have a lot of guns that, you know, serve that purpose really well, and it's a really fun game so far.
Yeah,
like, I guess, I mean, I play enough of it. I'll go ahead and say it's a really fun game in general.
Good. Yeah, I mean, what I love more than anything is just the way it handles the HUD, where everything's built in, and it's all character relative and not camera relative.
Right.
So, like, if you're looking at, like, a projection, what the hell's going on outside my window? Oh, they're, like, draining a drain or something. Do you hear that?
I don't hear anything.
Okay, good, because it's really loud. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, like, if you got, like, you know, like, a hologram video thing that's playing for Isaac to see, and, like, you turn, the video turns with Isaac. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's just really immersive and cool and cinematic.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, everything's like that. The maps, inventory, shops, all of the HUDs are in-game like that.
Yeah. So just, like, just, I mean, I think, like, just a lot of people are surprised that a new IP, internally developed EA game, that was, is being, honestly, it's being designed to be milked for a while. Like, they're doing, they did, like, the online comic. They're apparently doing an animated movie. They're going to do more games. Like, this was all planned. So, like, you heard all that, and you're like, ugh. But this is, like, actually a really solidly put together, well-done game.
Mm-hmm. And apparently, and even the health and your health meter is even just, like, on your back and part of your suit.
Yeah.
And stuff. So you can always see it, but, you know, it's not like a meter getting in the way of the game. It's cool.
Apparently, I don't, like, this comes from Shane Bettenhausen talking on One Up Yours, so I don't know where this traces back to, but this was originally pitched as System Shock 3, because EA owns that license.
Oh, right.
Which is where, like, people think a lot of the Bioshock-isms of it come from.
I can kind of see that connection. You have stasis, which slows things down, which is a cool ability. And you also have, like, the gravity manipulation, you know, gravity gun type thing. Mm. And they're never used, like, you're never solving, like, portal-type puzzles with these things, you know? But it's cool, especially stasis, because it slows down enemies, and then you can really, like, aim and shoot off their limbs precisely and stuff like that.
And I think
I don't use gravity very much in combat or anything like that, but it's nice to have.
I think one thing that deserves mention more than anything, like the graphics too, is the sound design in this game is phenomenal.
Right.
Like,
yeah, there's a lot of good sound working there.
It's got, like, it feels like being in a submarine, if that makes sense. Just because, like, everything's kind of creaking, and you hear, like, steam coming out of valves, and it's got that very claustrophobic military kind of feel to it.
Right.
It's a cool world, and I think, like, and I think that's where, like, the other Bioshock thing comes from, is a lot of what this game's appeal comes from is the cohesiveness of its setting.
Right. It, just like Bioshock, like, the story itself is, like, only so ho-hum. I mean, it's a basic, like, oh, you're on a ship and everyone's dead.
Yeah.
And, oh, there's something in here, you know. You know, we've been there before, but it's just the environments itself are cool. And it just seems like a fun experience. There's zero gravity sections where you kind of get to jump around and stuff. A couple sections where you have to, like, man one of the turrets and shoot up asteroids and other things like that. It's a very pleasing experience. It's a lot of fun. I hope people don't miss it out on, you know, there's a lot of games coming out this season. But I really think this is not to be missed.
Yeah.
I also, when I got Dead Space, I took advantage of the Toys R Us, like, buy two games, get one free deal.
Right.
I picked up Lego Batman and Wario also.
Oh, yeah, we played that together.
Yeah, I didn't try Wario yet. We started Lego Batman. And so suffice it to say, it's very Lego-y.
Yeah, it's exactly what you'd expect. Except they got, like, this kind of Panzer Dragoon-style system for throwing your Batarang, which is fun.
Well, the combat's better, because it also has, like, a grappling system, almost.
Yeah, and it's got, like, the Danny Elfman Batman score playing the entire time, which is just awesome.
Right, and from what I can tell, it has... Like, Indiana Jones had a lot of... Like, each chapter only had, like, six levels, and they're all very long levels. This seems like the levels are maybe more frequent, but much shorter.
Yeah, which I like
there's always, like,
a
boss fight at the end, which is kind of... It's a pacing change that I kind of like for this game, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Because in Indiana Jones 4, Lego Indiana Jones, that was fun stuff, but, you know, those levels were long.
Yeah, they're really long.
So, it's good. I think we'll enjoy that some more. All right, so Fable 2.
Should we go Fable 2? All right. Yeah, it's awesome. Like,
oh, yeah.
I totally freaking love it. Now, here's the
thing. Actually, but go ahead. You go first.
this game, once again, Molyneux promised us the moon and gave us a very nice piece of property out in the woods. Like, last night, as I came on to Twitter and was, after just having finished playing the game for a few hours and saying, like, oh, I love Fable 2, it's sweet, our friend Scribble, you know, said, like, you know, is it anything like this video that Molyneux showed a few years ago? And I clicked the link he gave me, and it's a video I remembered seeing, like, a combat prototype. Do you remember this? Or it was basically stick figures, but, like, supposedly running in real time with their fighting engine. And what it showed was, like, they're supposed to, like, first he's emphasizing combat on stairs, where, like, everyone's actually balancing on the steps. And at one point, the one guy swings his sword and gets stuck in the banister, and the hero is able to, like, use that delay to hit the guy. Then it goes to a bar.
I don't remember this.
They're in a bar, and because he didn't have his sword out. Yeah, like, he didn't have his sword out, but he was getting attacked. So pushing the attack button with no sword out made him just grab, like, a mug that was on the bar and hit a guy with it. Then he automatically picked up the chair that was by him, and then he swung from the chandelier and kicked a guy. And this was all, like, context-sensitive things with the attack button. And, like, it certainly doesn't do that. But that said, you're able to create some pretty cool-looking combos using the attack system that's there. Like, I did this thing last night. We were in private chat as we were both playing on our own. And you just heard me go, like, whoa. And you're like, what? I didn't really go into detail about it. But what happened was I did this flourish where a guy was coming up behind me. My dude threw his sword into the air and spun it, then spun around himself, caught the sword behind him, and then lunged it into the guy. And it cut into, like, a cinematic slow-motion angle for that. Then I cut the guy next to him and then turned around and threw my arm behind myself, shot the third guy with my pistol. And I was like, that's awesome.
Right, yeah. It's definitely a very nice combat system. Especially once you get flourishes and stuff like that.
Yeah, it starts off a little simple, but yeah, as you level up your abilities and everything, yeah, you're right. It builds upon itself very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you think of, like, all the, like, social interactions in the game?
Well, let me go back a little bit. First, you know, my first initial impression was kind of negative.
Really?
It's just, well, the very beginning where, you know, you have your very, you know, English sister kind of talking for you, and you're doing all these kind of dumb quests and stuff, and I was just like, ugh, I don't want to be doing this right now, you know, I just want to get out there. And, you know, a couple hours into things, when you really do get out there, it picks up substantially. And you know, it's interesting, at first I thought I was going to be more like almost a magic user, but, you know, then I thought I liked using guns, so I just used guns for a while. Then once I got flourishes under control, then I decided I want to be a sword guy. So it's cool that I'm not dedicated to a path from the beginning, you know?
Yeah, and it's very easy to switch whenever you want. You just, whatever you focus on, that's what you get experience in.
Right. I think that's almost like a problem I have with, like, Oblivion, how, like, you know, you just go through that cave, barely get the sample things, and it's like, all right, what do you want to be? And, like, I don't really know. Can I just do things?
Well, so, and I mean, in fairness, Oblivion, it worked the same, where you could do anything. It's just that you stack things kind of in that cave, so to work on the things you didn't specifically set as your primary things just took a lot longer. So this is actually what I've been kind of feeling like playing through Fable 2. I think someone else said this on the internet somewhere, but I totally agree. Fable 2 is Oblivion for people who do not like Oblivion.
I think Peter Molyneux said that.
Maybe it was Peter who said that. But he's right, though. It's like an almost open world where you've got, like, you know, like I said, the leveling system is similar but streamlined and faster. The quests are still, you know, you could do them whatever order and stuff, but it's still pretty clear, like, what you should do if you just want to get through the game linearly. There's still all, like, the crazy social stuff you can do. It's still got the AI characters who go about their day and everything. It's just more faster and more arcadey in a lot of ways, I think. It's like the difference between Burnout and Gran Turismo.
Right. I understand. I mean, I definitely do not like Oblivion, and I do like Fable 2, so that's a fair statement to make.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, nothing takes that long. Even, like, getting someone to marry you or fall in love with you is not hard at all.
No.
You just do a few expressions.
Yeah, I've already got a wife and kid.
They'll marry
you.
What?
I've got a wife and kid already. You do too, right?
Yeah, I got a wife and kid too. So, you know, it's not that hard to do.
Okay,
and
so
you can make money
pretty
easily. By the way, I think, the dog's cool. I mean, it's not, I wish he would attack people, you know, a little bit before they went down necessarily, but...
You have to upgrade his combat arts.
Okay, I think I got him to, like, level 3.
Yeah.
But I like him. His track... I like how his AI is good enough that he can actually run ahead of you, you know?
Yeah.
And you can do some neat things with him. It's once you get his treasure hunting up, he's always... What's really nice about him is that he lets you know. Like, you almost use him more as, like, an extension of senses. Because he'll let you know if a treasure chest is nearby, let you know if there's somewhere you can dig. He'll bark and growl if there are enemies nearby way before when you can see him and stuff like that. And that's what's cool about the dog.
Yeah. Do you feel that he loves you? Do you feel loved?
Yeah, my dog and I were pretty tight.
Yeah.
I named my dog Shiggy, like my real dog.
Nice.
I named my kid Michael, oddly enough.
I just left the kid's name as Bill. So I let the wife have her way.
I was having none of it. But, I definitely am enjoying myself. Yeah. And the leveling system is fun, and it's streamlined, and you can do it wherever. You can do anything wherever, you know? You can go right in there and teleport me to this shop, teleport me to this quest, you know? And I know you could do the teleporting in Oblivion also. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just a lot of things, like the working minigames, fine. It's not very hard to come up with money at all.
Yeah, you said that, I we kind of glossed over each other. But yeah, if you need money, just... go to the blacksmith for like 5 minutes and you've got like 10,000 gold.
Right. And if you start invest in property early, because you'll start making decent money from that.
Oh, I haven't gotten around to that yet.
Right. I got to sync my character up with my public games account, which, you know, pro tip, you have to go talk to a game master inside a pub and you can kind of do that.
Oh, didn't you get like the cool sword and the cool pistol in the pub games?
I got the cool pistol, and the cool pistol is not as cool as I thought it would be. It was like 2-star out of 5-star rating.
Wait, what's wrong with it then?
It's not that good a pistol. It's just
really?
Not. Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
But I got a gambler's coat from that, which is pretty awesome, and wear that. My guy actually looks pretty cool right now. He has like blue lines kind of everywhere that are glowing because he's so good.
That's cool.
And he ate a lot of meat, so he's pretty beefy right now. It's a pretty good look right now. I'm very happy.
Yeah, my guy's got like this cool kind of like Ranger's cloak on.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I think it looks pretty. That's one thing I really like. There's no defensive bonuses to armor. Mostly, the armor just gives some kind of stat bonus that like you would want from its appearance anyway. Like if this makes sense. Like if you're creating the character in your head and you want like some evil looking wizard. If you buy the evil-looking wizard clothes, they're gonna benefit your evilness and your wizarding, like you know. So you can get the look you want without having to be like, I want this for its appearance, but this has better armor stats, so I got to go with this like thing
right
that looks
exactly.
Ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm glad when we get rid of armor stats with armor. Basically, that's always a good thing. Hey, by the way, have you found like someone to do your hair yet?
Yeah.
Where's that at?
It's in the main town.
Is it? I gotta find this.
You
person.
Go if you're in the square. You keep going like away from the bridge, and it's on your left. Like you go past the blacksmith's past the jeweler vendor, and it's on that street.
Okay, I'll have to look for that. So what about the co-op? First off, it's always neat when you see the orb of like someone else just playing
the
game.
The orbs are very cool. And
it's just kind of neat.
There is I want to try it just for the sake of trying, but it's defaults to just your friends list, but you can set it to show everybody, which I don't know how that works exactly or if there's like a limit to it, but yeah, I would imagine it'd be a lot of orbs. Like
yes.
maybe just does like the 20 people closest to you or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, maybe.
You and I did like co-op for like 3 seconds. But just to say we did it. But I did play it for about 20, 30 minutes with a friend of ours. And the way it works, and really it works the same online or off. The person who's joining into the game, so let's say you invited me into your game to play co-op. I do not come in with my character. I make what they call a henchman. And when you're making the henchman, you make them from scratch every time. There's 6 basic appearances, good or evil, or neutral, and then male or female. And then you pick which type of weapons you have. Do you want an iron sword? Do you want a hammer? Do you want a mace? Do you want a pistol, a rifle, a crossbow? And I think you get the same magic as your main character. although I don't know what it's like when you make a henchman from scratch, like if you don't have a main. And then you play along with that person. And when you start, you also pick which character of yours that you're kind of linking this henchman to. And the host gets to set like how the experience and gold is split. But after you've been playing together, whatever gold experience your henchman got then transfers to your main. So, I mean, you essentially are playing with your character. It just doesn't look like them, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, that's kind of one of the big things of playing your character. A lot of people are complaining about this, that why can't I just play as my character?
Yeah,
I want to show off how he looks.
I understand it. Like, yeah. I'd like to see them add the support for it. Maybe they will.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused why that's not there. Yeah. Why I didn't know that.
I knew that was the case for online or offline co-op. I didn't realize that it was like that for online. I think I'm
weird.
Sure Peter Molyneux will say it's some kind of lore thing where it's like there can't be two the heroes in the same world together. So that's why you're just a henchman.
Yeah, come on.
I know. But what's interesting
I think this is going to get changed.
Yeah.
What I find really curious is when
you're doing it online, it works the same as it does in offline, where it's the camera stays to keep both of you in frame.
Yeah.
At
all. A lot of people complain about the camera.
Yeah, so I don't know if they would ever introduce the option where it's just like both players get their own independent camera. And I think part of why that is, too, is because it does force you to stay in the same screen. So that probably lightens the load on the game of what it has to keep track of. But that said, though, the way it does do the single camera works pretty well.
Works well enough. I mean, in general, this is not as good of a co-op experience as I was kind of hoping, but I'm fine just playing it single player. It's not like Gears of War 2 where it's like, you know, play it on co-op.
Yeah, like I don't see people going through the entire game together in co-op specifically.
No.
But I think it's fun and it's cool that it's there, and it's great that they were able to get that patch done in time and everything.
Yeah, it was. I don't like people say, like, oh, it's just a bonus thing, because he was touting co-op play for a while.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true.
So it kind of sucks that it's not maybe up to its full potential.
Right.
All right. Well, you have anything else you want to say about Fable 2 for now? I'm sure we're going to play more. We'll talk about it again next week.
Yeah. No, that should really do it for now.
Yeah, we said a lot. Is there anything else you really feel like you need to talk about?
One quick one. It's one of this week's WiiWare releases, and it came out on Steam as well, so I played the PC demo for World of Goo, which I really didn't know anything about this game, but what it is, you know, you got these little goo blobs, and you join them together to make, like, you know, like in middle school shop class when you made, like, the balsa wood bridge?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're basically doing that, but with goo. So it's like, imagine building that with balsa wood that kind of bent a little bit, and it had, like, a snapping point. So you're trying to basically build these crazy-shaped towers and bridges and all this stuff out of these little goo balls to get from A to B. And, you know, you constantly have to reinforce it so that it doesn't bend too far and snap, and then it doesn't topple over and everything. And it's just really fun. It's a really good puzzle game. I just wish there was the demo of the Wii version, because I felt like I was having to be pretty precise with the mouse to get these things to work the way I wanted. I just don't know if you'd find that precision in the Wii version.
Right. Well, maybe. Yeah, it would be nice if we had some WiiWare demos.
Yeah.
All right, you done then?
Yeah, it'll do for now. I got one more, but I'll just bring it up later.
Okay, briefly. Well, why don't you talk about the downloadable game releases?
Okay, so, on the WiiWare, like I just said, World of Goo, and something called Art Style Cubello. It's some kind of puzzle/shooter game. I don't know what it is. On the Virtual Console, one that we've been talking about trying is The Secret of Mana, which actually has 3-player co-op.
Yeah, we should. I'm thinking about trying that out sometime. That might be fun.
Yep, and as if there weren't enough, another version of Street Fighter 2. This one is Special Champion Edition.
How many editions of this game do we need?
Well, this is the this was the first Street Fighter game released for the Sega Genesis.
All right.
On Xbox Live Arcade, Age of Booty, and this I did play the trial for, I was going to talk about real quick, published by Capcom, designed by the original designer of Halo's multiplayer. The best way to describe it is like a real-time strategy game where you control one unit, and you play like on teams where basically you're just, you know, driving your little ship around on the ocean in like this kind of hex grid, trying to take over ports and sink enemy ships, and just once you're within one hex of something, you auto-attack it. And you've got, like, some special abilities to use, and you can get ship upgrades from the resources you get from owning towns. And I could see this actually being a lot of fun, like, 3-on-3 with, like, 5 other friends. Like, it could be a really good game, I think.
All right.
The other XBLA game is called Crazy Mouse. I have no idea what that is. On the PlayStation Network, SOCOM, U.S. Navy SEALs Confrontation is out. It's also a retail release. Apparently, this game is having some major server problems. Like, the majority of people can't play right now.
That's a shame.
And it is a shame because everyone who is playing it says, like, you know, the game's good once you get into it, but it's, like, bad. Like, really bad. Like, people are pissed bad. They did a PlayStation 1 Classic release, Snowcross Championship Racing, because more people wanted that than Metal Gear. They also released on the PSP Deadhead Fred and PQ2 Practical Intelligence Quotient 2.
Didn't Deadhead Fred win some sort of writing award?
Really? I don't even know what it is. I know it's an older game. I gotta say, though, I wanted to talk about this real quick. I love having the PSP store in the PSP. Like, I don't know why this took so long to do. But, like, now that they've got it there, like, you know, everyone's now comparing it basically to the iPhone App Store, and because that thing is hugely successful. And I think part of its success is there's a lot of impulse buys. Like, there's a lot of programs that are just $2 or $3 that people are like, oh, okay, I'll buy this. And what probably would fulfill the impulse buy slot in the PSP store are these $6 PS1 games, and there's like 10 of them, and maybe 3 of them are worth having. But like I said, at TGS, you look at that list of the Japanese PS1 games in the Japanese PS store, it's like a 3-column sheet of 10x11 paper filled with games. And it's like, why aren't those here? Like, what is so different about the Japanese market that, like, we don't have more than 20 games in the 2 years the PSP's been out? Because if they put out, like, if I just turn on my PSP on Thursday and it says Metal Gear Solid, $6, I'm typing in and download, you know? I'm just trying to think of, like, other ones. Like, I don't know, it just seems like they just need to get more than like, these $15 to $20 retail releases. Like, I bought Beats for $5, and that was, like, it's a great game. I'm enjoying it. It was $5 well spent. And that's the only game of its kind. They need to get these, like, impulse buy experiences in there.
All right. Well, your point is well
now
taken.
Now that rant's over.
All right, then. Let's talk.
Well, are then you done? GameTap, no? Very quickly.
GameTap. Go ahead.
Jack Keane, which I believe is a PC adventure game, and Sacrifice, which is the kind of RTS, RPG, third-person game that I actually got it off Good Old Games. It's really, really hard. It's kind of complicated, but it's really cool. And Tim Curry does a voice.
Okay, let's go to the normal game releases. Of course, Fable 2 came out on October 21st. Far Cry 2 came out for PC, 360, and PS3 on October 21st. I didn't know that came out, too.
Yeah, I'm bummed. Week. I tried to position my Gamefly queue so it shipped next, and I didn't realize that, like, Midnight Club LA came out today, whereas everything else comes out tomorrow, so they ship that, which I want to try, but I wanted to try Far Cry 2 more.
Yeah, that sucks. I want to try Far Cry 2 at some point. I'll rent it or something.
Yeah.
Dead Space comes out for the PC, or did come out for the PC October 20th.
Yeah, I heard also, that. I heard it didn't translate all as well as it could have. Like, the aiming's, like, it's like they mapped the analog sticks to a mouse.
Bully Scholarship Edition is also coming out for the PC. It came out 21st. Like you said, Midnight Club, Los Angeles, PS3, 360 came out.
The cool thing is, like, do you know much about this game?
Not really.
They've basically recreated one for one vast stretches of roadways in Los Angeles to the point where I was looking at screenshots of it and actually recognized an intersection that was not too far away from where I was living when I was in LA. Like, exactly as it looks.
Spider-Man Web of Shadows, 360, PS3, PSP, PS2, and Wii. There's your game, Majga. That came out. Yeah. Castlevania Order of Ecclesia for the DS came out. Wii Music came out.
This game, it does that thing that Donkey Kong Country did that I was so mad about. There's, like, 5 Nintendo songs, and then there's, like, Do-re-mi and happy birthday. Yeah. That's what I said, isn't it?
You said country.
Oh, I meant Congo. But yeah.
Okay.
Like, enough. I mean, I appreciate that we've got, you know, the Zelda theme, the Mario theme. They even threw in, like, the Mute City music from F-Zero. But, like, here's how you make Wii music. You take the soundtrack for Smash Brothers Brawl, and you chunk it up so that every swing of a Wiimote plays the next note. Wii music.
Although it does have a nice selection of classical music, which is kind of neat, which also Donkey Kong did.
Yeah, but then, like, I don't know, there's, like, Jackson 5 and...
Oh, yeah, it's a versatile set list.
If you want to call it that.
Well, I think... Let's not doubt that this game's probably going to do pretty well.
Oh, I know it is.
We can all criticize it and mock it as much as we want.
Well, that's the thing, though, too. And all the media outlets have started reviewing it. Like, basically, the tagline for all the reviews is, like, it's not as bad as you think.
We'll see. I want to try it.
Yeah, I do, too.
I mean, I have a bounce board, so that'll be fun to use that with it.
Oh, yes.
Here's something I'm kind of interested in. And this came out, like, this summer. I'd probably definitely get it. Is Star Ocean First Departure for the PSP.
Yeah, this is it never came out in America. It's the first Star Ocean that was on the SNES, and they've, you know, up-resed it and ported it to the PSP.
Yeah, definitely like to try it. Rock Band 2 finally came out for the PS3.
Good.
NBA 2K9 PC version came out. BioShock came out for the PS3. Eternal Sonata came out for the PS3. We got a lot of late coming ports here.
Yeah.
And Chris Naruto really like Clash of Ninja Revolution 2 for the Wii came out.
Now, this is what I always say, and I don't get this. Look at all these games that are coming out this week. And this is ignoring the next 4 weeks. I bought Fable 2, and on this list, I might buy Castlevania. And that's pretty much it. Whereas, if any of these games, if Far Cry 2 and Dead Space and Spider-Man and Star Ocean, if these all came out...
Even with music.
Even with music. If these came out in, like... June and July and August, when basically we were all playing Civilization and Metal Gear, and that was it, I would have bought these. But I'm sorry, like, no, there's 8 million other games that are better coming out right now that I'm not gonna buy you.
I'm glad I got my birthday coming up in a little bit more than a month.
Yeah, you had good timing as a fetus.
Yes, I did. Remember, it's always nice to conceive in March.
Okay. It's kind of gross.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll go to the 4-1-1 real quick.
Yep.
Look at the top 10 list, which I did look at before, but...
It's the top 10 games for this holiday season, top 10. Appropriately enough.
Okay. All right, we'll see about this. Number 10, we got Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, which... I have a hard time getting much enthusiasm up for, but...
I admit, I do too, but it just seems like everybody who plays this really likes it.
Well, we'll see. Maybe it'll be fun. It's just, again, busy holiday season. 9 is Far Cry 2, which I definitely want to try out. 8 is Left 4 Dead.
Can't wait.
Valve game. So 7 is Metal Slug 7, which is an interesting choice, given everything here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it'll be, I'm sure that'll be fine. But
it'd be fun, but like...
You know what I bet it's like? I bet it's like Metal Slug 1. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I just saw a video of Metal Slug 1, and I'm like, man, the series has not come all that far.
No.
But they're fun. Yeah. 6 is Mirror's Edge.
The demo comes out November 6th? Something like that. I'll be curious to try it. See if
5
it works.
Is Fable 2.
Yay.
Again, 5 is Fable 2. 4, Fallout 3. See, which I did not realize comes out this month.
Yeah, it comes out next week, and I'm not going to be able to get it when I want to.
I cannot get that one right away.
Me neither, sadly.
Oh, I bet you will get it right away. We'll see. You say that. We'll see. 3 is Persona 4, which, you know, I liked Persona 3 a lot. Mm-hmm. Didn't get to beat it, but good stuff. 2 is Prince of Persia, which I don't seem to be as excited about nearly as much as everyone else.
I am. And also, did you see... Gabe at Penny Arcade's comic book for it.
So the cover looks neat.
Yeah, the first page is up too. It looks really good. He did a really good job with that.
And number one is Little Big Planet.
Fair enough.
Yep, so, you know, good list. I think the only thing that maybe I would not, like, I don't know if I'd put Metal Slug on my list.
Yeah, I think I would dump out Metal Slug and throw Gears of War 2 in there somewhere. And
yeah,
I,
that's right.
I particularly am not. I'm not all that hyped for Persona 4.
Well, you don't have much connection to the series.
No, I don't. I think even if I did, like, for as good as everyone says Persona 3 is, I think actually our friend Pete or Chris or someone was saying this, that, you know, Persona 3 was great and all, but, you know, lightning striking twice, what's the odds of another really good 90-hour RPG?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of surprised that they didn't go next-gen for Persona 4.
Yeah.
But whatever. I guess Persona 4 is basically Persona 4 in the country. You know, like Persona 3 is all city based and this is all country based. All right, what do you have that email ready?
I do indeed.
Good.
So we got another email from Jake Arbogast, and it's a good one. So let's read it and then we'll discuss. Hey guys, brief discussion topic maybe. Me and my roommate are starting to feel like old dusty gamers. We're 24, not old I know, but we find ourselves pining for a lot of the, quote, good old days of gaming. I cringe to say those words, but it feels to us, at least, like there's not so much as awesome original content anymore. We're JRPG kids, at least we were. I play a lot of video games of different genres, so I know there's some original stuff out there, but it seems slimmer these days. Final Fantasy XII had one of the coolest battle systems in an RPG I've played, but the story left me feeling no replay love for it. I have a PS3 sitting out there, a $600 system. Yet it seems some days we sit around, me playing Final Fantasy Dinosaurs, and he sits around playing Pokemon Gold on his Game Boy Color. Are we losing our minds? What happened to the new, awesome, inspiring, shiny JRPG epic of days long past? Are they just not profitable to crap out anymore? I miss being able to play a game for 90 hours. Force Unleashed had some RPG elements, great, but like 4 hours into it, you can tell by how many points you have that the game isn't going to last long. Maybe the problem is I like to be enthralled in a drama. Seems to be less emphasized these days. Crazy me? Or am I just so out of the video game loop of my oldness that I'm missing the gems that drift down the game river? Who killed the JRPG and where did they bury it? Am I doomed to boredom the years between new Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts releases? Jake. Here's what I would say is a problem insofar as JRPGs go. To me, it seems like there have been a lot of JRPG releases, but they're what I think a lot of people would admit are B-list games. You know, Tales of Vesperia, Lost Odyssey, even looking ahead a little bit, Last Remnant, Star Ocean. You know, like, they're competent JRPGs, but they're very traditional, and they don't do anything really all that new or exciting. And a lot of people seem to think it's because, basically, everyone's waiting to see what Final Fantasy XIII does so they can copy it. But
right,
then,
exactly.
But then you look at Final Fantasy XII, which did do something new and different and innovative, and I really applauded it. But everybody freaked out about it. It was like, oh, this is the worst game ever. You changed it. No. And so, as a result of that, like, it feels like everyone was waiting to copy Final Fantasy XII. Then people got freaked out by it, so they didn't copy it. And now they're waiting to see what Final Fantasy XIII does. I'm sure Final Fantasy XIII will have some things it does different. Everyone will freak out about that. And then the cycle continues.
Yeah, like, the problem here is that Final Fantasy XIII did not come out soon enough to set the standard. Like, I mean, you know, every PlayStation era RPG was sort of, you know, following Final Fantasy VII, which came out pretty early there. Maybe a little bit later, but, you know, before then we didn't know what we were missing. Then Final Fantasy X came out pretty early in the PS2 lifecycle. Then, you know, we had so many Final Fantasy X-like games. And the problem right now is there's a reason why, like, all the RPGs we have right now, like Lost Odyssey, and especially like Tales of Vesperia, they just feel like last-gen RPGs that are maybe just a better looking, you know.
Right.
We haven't found a niche for this new generation. What we're gonna do with RPGs? Plus, I mean,
the whole thing
needs shaking up. And I'm with you that Final Fantasy XII had a great battle system. And yeah, I know a lot of people weren't big fans of the story, and I'm kind of there with them because it wasn't traditional in that it was character-driven, but it still was crazy and weird in a way. Mm-hmm. There's still, like, ethereal forces there and whatnot. I won't get into Final Fantasy XII's story right now. But, I mean, I feel the lack, too, because I don't think there's been a next-gen RPG, JRPG anyways, that I played and liked. And, you know, I recently kind of fell in love with the genre, but there's really nothing there for me right now.
Mm-hmm. And I think another problem, too, is just with the way the games market is going these days, there's very few gamers who are interested, I think, in playing a game for 90 hours. Like, I think maybe that's why Persona 4 is sticking to the PS2, because they know they're not going to sell a lot of copies of it, so it keeps development costs down, and, like, it kind of appeals that hardcore gamer who has the PS2 to play these games anyway.
Yeah, I would agree. And I mean, what was the last RPG we had? Sonic Chronicles?
Yeah, it's the last one I played, I guess.
What's that?
Yeah, it's the last one I played.
Did you take that? You returned it without beating it. As much as you were saying it was good, you obviously didn't like it that much.
Well, no, I mean, here's the thing. I did like it, and I'll probably buy it eventually, like maybe if we hit a drought and I'm traveling. But like the thing I realized with renting GBA or DS games that kind of sucks is, like, you know, if I rent a game with a 360, play it for a week, decide I'm going to get this later, and then I buy it 6 months later, I pick up where I left off, whereas on the DS, not so much. So it was like, well, I'm not going to play this anymore. I only have to start over again eventually, so I may as well send it back and get the next game.
Right.
Because I knew I wasn't going to, like, beat it in a week, you know?
Yeah, all right, whatever. So, you know what, and also, I think it does kind of suck that we don't have a PS3 Kingdom Hearts on the horizon. Like, the portable stuff they're showing, especially Birth by Sleep, is looking pretty cool. But, you know, I'm kind of hoping after this wave of portable stuff that we'll really be like, and Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming, and everyone will be like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
All right, so, Jake, I feel your pain. I think you're going to have to hang in there until Final Fantasy 13, really.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe look into Persona 3, because, I don't know, you didn't indicate that you've tried
that.
Yeah,
if you haven't played Persona 3, that sounds like it's right up your alley.
It was a fun game. Unless you're like, I mean, you kind of have to be into the sort of, it's very Japanese, and you got a lot of social elements in it that are maybe might be off-putting to some, but give it a shot, maybe. All right. This podcast has kind of gone on longer than I would like. I really want to play Fable 2.
Yeah, I know. I do, too.
So why don't we wrap it up?
Very good.
Thanks for listening. You can find us at our site at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com, and, of course, we're on the iTunes Music Store. You can contact me at tolkilto@gmail.com, and you can contact AdgeGuy at AdgeGuy711@gmail.com.
It's true.
Yes, it's true. So thank you for listening, everybody. I can't believe I waited for you to, like, offer some sort of soundbite there, and you're like, yeah, I agree.
I don't know what else you wanted to say.
I guess so. All right, everyone, I'm off.
Bye.